The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Something Was Wrong is intended for mature audiences and may be distressing for some listeners. For a full trigger warning for each episode and for a list of resources for survivors and their loved ones, please see the episode notes. Pseudonyms are given to all minors and some survivors in these stories for their privacy and protection. Testimony shared by guests of the show is their own and does not necessarily reflect the views of myself, Broken Cycle Media, or Wondery. This podcast and any linked materials should not be construed as medical advice, nor is the information a substitute for professional medical expertise or treatment. In response to the allegations against Jessica Pauley, she responded with no comment. Thank you so much for listening.
You think you know me, you don't know me well at all. You think you know me, you don't know me well
Good morning. It is Tuesday, June 4th, 9:33 a.m. I am actually in Humboldt County with my family right now, but I appreciate you all for joining me in this audio memo group chat. It's so hard to coordinate all of our schedules to get on a Zoom. It's also, we've tried group recordings and it's super difficult with audio quality, doing it remote and things like that. So this is new for me trying it this way, but it could be kind of cool. But I really just wanted to hear from y'all what the process has been like, sharing your story, hearing it back for yourself. And then my second question would be if you have any updates, if you've learned of anything recently that you feel comfortable sharing, if you would like to add that. I am looking at our spreadsheet here that we've shared with the police and the FBI. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 anonymous others from high school that we know of, possibly 5. That's at least 10 or 11 that we know of before college was done. Then we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 other victims who we have personally confirmed with one way or the other, who did not want to be on the podcast. A lot of people either just wanted to move forward with their lives, it was too difficult for them to speak to, or they were too afraid of Jess and her family. Then obviously we have Monica, Bree, Lauren, and then the last two known victims that we found, who we're calling Savannah, pseudonym, she just found out the truth end of November. We had heard secondhand that there was potentially another victim in Omaha that happened after Savannah. So Bree and Lauren can kind of share what they can share about where things are at with the North Carolina police. Obviously, they don't want to share tons of details publicly while their investigation is ongoing, but they did follow up. After I spoke with Jerry, Jerry organized a meeting with Bree and Lauren, and they followed up afterwards. The ADA, and I believe two other officials followed up and said that they foresaw four potential charges. Whether or not they are going to move forward with that, we don't know. With the FBI, last I had heard is that they were going to be following up with the evidence, reviewing all of that, and hopefully we'll be following up with the real Brody in Florida. So I definitely think that we're getting close. Of course, in an ideal world, we would have all of this snapped up, buttoned up, and her ass sitting in prison by the end of 10 weeks of the podcast airing. But that's just not real life, and the wheels of justice unfortunately turn really slow. But we have provided both the FBI and the police with a 45-plus page criminal timeline with all of our investigation included. We've also provided them with probably hundreds to thousands of pieces of evidence at this point, including text messages, photos, and many of them include direct threats. We also got our FOIA request through, and I was able to review the police report, which I also shared with the FBI. And I definitely found some errors in the report. And so at the meeting Lauren and Bree had with Pender County, they let them know where the errors were. So hopefully we'll see those corrections and some follow-up there. But that's sort of the updates on my end. The last 3 months, we have found new information and new victims almost on what feels like a daily basis. I hope to see that continue. We are starting a national petition to hold Jessica Pauley legally responsible. We've done these in the past and we found them effective. What's next? I don't know, but I know none of us are giving up. So anything that you guys want to share, sorry, this is so long. Feel free to share it here. I'll be saving all the audio messages as they come in and get it into the finale episode. Thank you so much. Okay, love to you all. So, so proud, so, so honored to be a part of this. I don't feel like the season is really coming to an end because I just know there's so much more work to be done here. And hopefully the next time we come to the listeners with an update, it'll be Jessica Pauley's in fucking prison, y'all.
Here's Monica.
Since the beginning of recording the podcast, there has been a whirlwind of emotions, some good and some bad, of course. Digging up a lot of this has not been easy, but I'm really hoping it's worth it in the end for all of us. The love and support people have shown is so mind-blowing and just absolutely unbelievable and unexpected, from family and friends to complete strangers, especially my fiance, being with me every step of this journey. I know it hasn't been easy for him or anyone's loved ones to hear in such depth what we have gone through and to see such lack in justice being made so far. The friends and support system I have gained from this are ones that will last a lifetime. Shout out especially to Bree, Lauren, Danny, and Tiff. We talk daily and they are friendships that will be irreplaceable. Since starting the podcast, I've gotten engaged and these girls are a group of girls that I wanted to tell right away. I mean, I told them before I announced it, called them, and I was just so excited to share that with them. Unfortunately, the podcast has also connected us with more victims, which obviously is partly the purpose of doing it and putting it out there. But I definitely get really emotional every time we find or connect with a new victim. It just really breaks my heart because the stuff we went through, I wouldn't wish upon anyone. And at one point thinking I was the problem while in a relationship with Brody, to finding out it was Jess, to finding out she has done this for years to so many strong, beautiful, smart women that have amazing careers and amazing lives. Yeah, it's just crazy. It definitely has been very validating though, as I was in a very dark place and talking about it and bringing all this stuff that I have buried into light again, I have definitely learned that this isn't a me problem, it's a Jess problem.
Hello, it's Shayna again. Wow, this whole thing has just been crazy. It's been emotional, it's been liberating, it's been a really great overall experience. I have gotten nothing but love and support. My husband, my friends, my family, it's been incredible on that kind of end of it. What we want is justice to run its course. And after lots of talks with my family, I have really come to the conclusion and come to the fact that it's important for me to continue to speak. Basically, fuck you. You can't sweep anything under the rug. Nobody is going anywhere, and this is not going to stop. Victims need justice. And I think the lifelong trauma that this woman has had so many young people endure is just sickening. Listening to these episodes, lots of people were calling me, wanting to know more. And I just kept being like, I'm as much a viewer and a listener as everybody else. I had absolutely no idea the lengths and the sadistic behavior that was behind all of this. Being 14, you just think that this is just a crazy girl and like whatever, but never in my wildest dreams did I think that she was going to continue doing this and to this extent to these wonderful human beings. Bree, Lauren, Monica, Danny, they have all just been so wonderful throughout this, so kind. Their personal messages to me have been so heartfelt. And obviously, Jess has a pattern and a type. It's definitely empathetic, kind, trustworthy, beautiful humans. And it's just sad that these women had to go through this in the prime of their life. And yeah, I'm just so ready for her to take accountability, which I still to this day don't think that she's taken one ounce of accountability. The long-lasting effects that all of us women have had to deal with is intense. It causes a ripple effect. I am not public on social media, and probably because I will never accept a person that I don't know on Facebook, all because of this. I am just so honored to be a part of this. These women have done so much of the hard work and the legwork, and I feel lucky that I've kind of got to come in on the back end and share my story. I think that the more awareness of these types of things, cyberstalking can create laws and change in the justice system that obviously needs to happen. It's crazy to me that they just can't arrest her for doing this stuff. It's sick and it's twisted, and justice deserves to be served. I bawled my first time listening to Monica talk, episode one. I feel like abusers and narcissists all have similar patterns, similar red flags to look out for. The relationship that I jumped into right after the whole Jessica Pauley situation, it was so similar to the things that Monica mentioned, down to the, you know, why are you posting things on social media, you slut, you're looking for attention. Those exact words have been said to me, and I just so want young women, my daughter, to grow up knowing the signs, knowing what a healthy relationship looks like, knowing her worth, being safe on the internet. This whole thing is so important in continuing to make that happen. Again, I feel so lucky to be a part of that, and hopefully bigger and better things from here on out, and laws are changed, and I think this can really make an impact. And feel like that Monica, Bree, Lauren, all of these women get the justice that they deserve. I do have a story that I want to tell about Jessica Pauley actually reaching out to me in April. I was at a bridal shower and I received a text or a Facebook message from Danny. And it was screenshots of Jessica's TikTok. And I was like, is her TikTok public? So I went to her TikTok right away. I was just mouth on the floor, kind of chuckling to myself because it was just all such bullshit. And I mean, anybody with eyes can see through it and see that it's like the first fucking Pinterest caption that you can find. It's just a crock of shit. And I would love to read that to you. Of course, it is a typical Jessica Pauley photo of herself with her camera right in front of her face. But the TikTok is that picture of her, camera in front of her face, and then the words over it. When you can't be bothered because you know you're living a life true to yourself and no longer doing the things you're being accused of continuing to do. People are always going to talk. Let them. Oh my God, I was shaking. It was just fucking bullshit. But then the caption underneath it was just, we are healing. We are not our mistakes. And don't ever let someone make you feel like you are. Every day is a new day to change the narrative and be a better person. No sin is greater than another's. Therapy is tough, but man, it is truly the best thing ever. Healing isn't linear, but it is possible when you put the work in. I just couldn't help myself. I had a couple mimosas. I was feeling brave, and I commented on it. This is a fucking joke, right? And I immediately got blocked, which I knew was going to happen. Should I have commented on it? Probably not, but it felt really good, if I'm going to be honest with you, to just be like, I see you. You're trash. I got blocked, and that was it. So fast forward maybe a week and a half ago, I was on TikTok, which obviously I barely am because I just noticed it. And I realized that I had a filtered message in my TikToks. April 20th, and she comments to me, maybe take your comments elsewhere. The only joke is you trying to be relevant as if you ever mattered. Obviously, her words can't hurt me now, and I know that I matter. But it was just coming off of that TikTok, you're healing, you're changing, you're a better person. Like, what the fuck? And you are going to say that right away to another human being? You don't matter. I just feel like that's so low, and you are truly just trying to degrade somebody. You don't matter. Like, it's so hurtful. So yes, that was obviously unblocked. I can't respond. I probably wouldn't respond anyway, but it truly shows how gross she is. I would never say to somebody else that you don't matter. But yes, that was that. I have gotten people from high school that I was really good friends with come out to me and tell me, you know, that they were catfished by Jess. Girls were so ashamed of it that we did not even, as close friends, speak about it to one another. Other girls may have found out about it and didn't tell us, but I really think it's important to, when you see something, say something. Yeah, I just think that that's important to say. I loved that Monica brought up the dogs. This is something that I have rage called my sister for over 10 years about. I watch her post on her social media, oh, my new puppy, oh, my new puppy. Every few years, it's a new dog. And you're just like, what happened to the old dog? How is she is she just dropping it off at a shelter? Is she finding other homes? I hate that as, you know, an avid dog lover, as somebody who's taken in a senior dog. Like, dogs are so innocent, and you bring them into your home, you love them, and then you just abandon them when they get older and they're not cute for photos anymore. It's gross. I, again, want to reiterate how important it is, I think, for everybody to hear this podcast. I know a lot of people have. I think it's awesome. I know a lot of straight males who have started listening to this podcast, then listening to other seasons because they're waiting for episodes to come out. I think awareness and this whole thing has got to be eye-opening. It sure was for me, and hopefully it is eye-opening for everybody else who's listening to this, and hopefully justice is coming for Jessica Pauley. I just want to thank you, Tiffany. Thank you so much.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, this is Bree. Now that the podcast is out, I have an entire new outlook on the abusive situation I was in for such a long time. I used to downplay what happened in my head a lot in the beginning, and the number of people who've reached out and told me how sorry they are, how they had no idea how bad it really was, how all of the girls are so strong and brave. It's truly been such an empowering feeling. It's made all the difference in me actually wanting to tell my story, to spread awareness, and to hopefully validate other people in similar situations, and also to hold Jess accountable. The amount of shame that comes with telling some of the most intimate details to the world is not for the faint of heart. I've had complete strangers reach out and tell me how validated they felt after listening, which is a feeling I can't even really describe. Originally, I just wanted to make myself feel validated and empowered, and honestly had no idea most of the listeners would be here supporting me in that journey. Of course, with anything on the internet, there's rough reviews and horrible comments. I try to avoid the comment sections, knowing it'll only do harm and lead me down rabbit holes I don't need to be heading down. For people saying we want attention, I assure you, I'd much rather be known for something other than my best friend secretly sexually exploiting and emotionally terrorizing me. I had hopes maybe something so much bigger than myself could have an impact on Jess, maybe making her see the effects of her actions. One could hope, but I've since learned Jess is completely incapable of empathy. Seeing her posts and actions people have sent our way only solidify that. Quoting, being unbothered after being caught ruining so many women's lives is just sad and messed up and really highlights the delusional life she's living. Also, seeing that she's told other victims they never mattered goes to show the person she is and how she isn't on some godly journey and she hasn't healed even a little after all of this. She's taken zero accountability. She's lied about herself, her past. She's told lies about us. She's moved multiple times. She's just running from her actions and dragging her child along with her. Her child is unfortunately affected by these horrible choices she continues to make. She needs to be held accountable, and it's completely heartbreaking her child is unfortunately collateral damage. Her child deserves better than this chaos she's placed him in. I want to reiterate that the podcast is only telling six of the victims' stories. I feel like it's misunderstood that we're the only ones affected when we've confirmed more than 20 female victims so far, not including the men she's stalked throughout the years. This story has hurt and affected so many people, far more than just the victims she emotionally and sexually abused for years. Through this, I've learned how behind the legal system truly is with the advancing technology we have in 2024. I really hope we can see something change with the current laws in place. I know it won't be quick, but I still have hope. Like Monica had touched on, the bond I've made with these incredible women is irreplaceable. I couldn't ask for a better support system. I honestly don't know where I'd be today if I didn't have them every step of this emotional roller coaster. It's been some of the hardest days I've had in my life, and I wouldn't be here without them.
Hi, it is Danny. My experience with the podcast has probably been a little bit different considering I am like a non-victim in this situation. I am probably more of like a bystander, outside perspective, since I had just kind of been a friend to Jess and a couple of the other girls prior to discovery. My experience in this has been honestly very great. I think it has been beautiful and powerful watching these women rise up and like take the reins and be so brave and come forward with all this traumatic stuff and talk about it so gracefully and beautifully after something so horrible and disgusting and tragic as what Jess has done. To create something beautiful like this is great. And really just the beauty in it is how brave these women are and how they all came together and how they all support each other. And I love that. I also super love Something Was Wrong and Tiffany for taking this project on. I know it has been a lot of work. I can't imagine how many hours you guys have put into this. Becca and Lily and Ryan and all of you, you guys have been so great. I'm probably forgetting people. And Tiffany's family for letting us take her away one too many times, way too many times. Thank you. Just having a voice and a platform to expose the situation, expose a predator, validate these women's and men's experience in this situation has been so great. I just couldn't imagine doing this situation with anyone else. I was thinking about it, and when I had first made a TikTok, it was like in the middle of November, after like tons of comments that were like, oh, you should go on Something Was Wrong, this story would be perfect. I think it was like 2 weeks later, Lily reached out, which is so crazy to me that the timing was just like so divine and so perfect. I feel like everything fell into place there and felt really natural. And I just can't believe how lucky we are to have everything happen so fast. That was really great. Even recently, someone who commented, oh, you should go on Something Was Wrong back in November, went back to that comment just like a week ago and was like, girl, look at you. You made us the podcast. So that was super awesome. Other updates since the podcast dropped. So in the first two episodes, I believe we found 3 to 4 more survivors / victims of Jess, which is absolutely insane. And that finding them just meant that they had heard the podcast, realized something was literally wrong. Something happened. Jess had also catfished them, and they had reached out to us one way or another, which was super crazy. This week, even, we found one potential victim, but we are not sure totally if she is or not. We're just waiting for her to get back to us, but it is looking that way, unfortunately. Also, Jess has moved 3 times since the discovery in August of 2023. She first moved in September of 2023 and has moved 3 times. She just recently moved back to North Carolina as of like 2 weeks ago. She got a job, but she has already gotten released from that job due to this whole situation. They found out and they let her go. It looks like the respiratory board, after reaching out multiple times and multiple people reaching out, and hopefully they will take her license away, at least in North Carolina, so she can't work here, which would be really great. I really just don't think she is mentally sound enough to be working with patients. I don't think it's safe to have her have access to that much information. A respiratory therapist is responsible for patients' life support, and it's just terrifying. She was going to be working with babies at a baby hospital, and I just, no, absolutely not. That is a horrifying thing to think about. Moving on. The meeting with the DA, Bree and Lauren, they both met with the DA here in New Hanover County. He brought in a sex crimes officer, which was super great because he was really educated on everything that they needed to talk about. And after they had called us and we had like a little Zoom meeting to talk about it, and watching them be so confident coming out of that was really validating and really great, because before, I feel like, at least in the beginning, in like September, when everything was first found out, it felt like every time they went to the police station or tried to move forward with getting justice on this situation, they were made to feel crazy. It was horrible to see it just not get taken as seriously as this situation is. And I'm happy, to the very least, that they might be taking it seriously right now. And at least I hope they are. And it feels that way. I'm pretty confident that something will get done. Hopefully. Also, I have written down that Monica is engaged. That is exciting. We were on a Zoom meeting and she had dipped out for a second. Well, a second, actually like 8 hours, because we stayed on that Zoom meeting way too long because we're all a little crazy. But she had texted us to hop back on the Zoom meeting and she was an engaged woman and we were all surprised and super excited. So congrats, Monica. I'm happy that we got a happy ending out of this. Also, I have written down potential live show and documentary. I super hope both of those happen. I hope any and all projects we have with Tiffany and Something Was Wrong, we can definitely follow through with, because it has been such a pleasant experience. And I think whatever we work together on will be great.
Hi, this is the anonymous college roommate. So as an update, since the podcast has started airing, for me, I feel like I've gone on a journey of new healing. I was one of Jess's earlier victims. It was 2010. Online dating wasn't really a thing. Catfish, the TV show, hadn't even aired yet. In my mind, as a young 18-year-old girl, I was the only one. So I cut that part off of my life. I healed from it. I moved forward. I grew a career and a family. And then to hear the stories of all these other women and know now, in reality, Jess has been victimizing and doing the exact same thing this entire time has, for me, been a new journey of healing. I've even, to my family and friends, referred to it as almost like a fever dream, that I feel like I've lived one reality for a decade and a half, and now learning that that reality was completely wrong has taken me on this new healing journey, which I actually feel like I am finally able to move on from this. The podcast has really allowed me to sort of move on for real, which sounds weird to myself to say out loud that it's been this long and I'm now just now able to move forward from it. But I am. I feel like I've been freed of this weight that I have put on myself when I had convinced myself that I was the only one. So mentally and spiritually, I've been able to move forward and move on and really actually heal from all of this. But with that, I've also now ignited a desire to hold Jess accountable. When it was just me, I felt I was a victim. I didn't need to do anything about it. It was a long time ago. But hearing that she's been doing it this entire time with very little consequence, I'm going to use now the skills and the network that I have built since Jess has been doing this to find some real accountability. So some of the things that I've been doing are researching the laws in my area, in the areas of the other states that the victims are in. I've also started to tap into my network of senators. As a lawyer and with family in the political space, I have a platform and the ability to hopefully drive change. Now, it's slow. This isn't an overnight thing. But without real accountability, we know Jess is going to continue to do this for the rest of her life. She's going to be an 80-year-old terrorizing these women in nursing homes. So now I'm going to help, and I'm going to try and find all of the accountability that we can today with the laws on the books as they are written now, which are not great. As you've heard on the podcast, the women that have reached out to the law, they're not getting the justice that they deserve. But that doesn't mean that the fight is over. We're going to continue to push forward. I've got contacts in the FBI. I have this huge network that we're going to fight for what we can now. And then we're also going to work to drive change for the future, to ensure that if this happens to anybody else, by anyone else, or by Jess, that they will be held to the fullest extent of the law. This is a crime. Point blank, period. This is torture. This is terrorism. This is sexual assault. It is fraud. It is so many things morally, ethically wrong. And the law needs to catch up. And the only way to do that is to write your local senators, work directly with your local, state, federal governments, and see what we can do about updating the laws to capture this. So that's something that I've been working on in the background. Again, it's a really slow process. This isn't something that happens overnight, but this podcast has now lit that fire to get the ball moving and get that process going so that we can get some justice for myself and for all of these other women. I wanted to provide a really quick update on the wife swap Christmas Breckenridge trip from hell. So that was 2010, so 14 years ago. And I can report now in 2024 that my parents are still married to the ex-spouse of the other couple. So the wife swap was successful. Like I mentioned on the podcast, there's 8 of us kids in total. And given what we went through back then and what we have gone through since then, I would say we've all actually turned out okay. I think absolutely that story could be probably an 8 to 10 part podcast on its own. But for now, I would say we're all doing as well as any dysfunctional family could.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hi, this is Lauren. Public speaking has never been my thing. I actually despise it. So leave it to me to be the last one to share my thoughts. On this podcast, on my reflection moving forward, and the future of where I would hope for things to go. What happened is not something that I or any human should expect someone to do. The amount of abuse that came from Brody, I've never seen anything like it. And knowing now that that was my best friend, I have no words. I'm seeing that me being vulnerable is a good thing and it can empower other people. And it can make people feel understood and validated and seen. And if I can make someone feel that way, that's better than any gift that I could give anyone. I'm still learning how to navigate relationships after this. It has not been easy at all. I think the worst part of it all has been the amount of time that I spent hoping to pursue things with Brody and the amount of time and energy and mental capacity, emotional capacity that I used to try to make this work. I had good intentions for him and I hoped that he did in return. It's almost been a year since all of this has came out. And every single day I wake up and I have to choose to be happy. I have to choose to get out of bed. I have to choose to be motivated and to go outside and to see friends. All I want to do is just lay around and not do anything. And it sucks because she took this 3 years from me. And now I'm dealing with the aftermath of that where I have to put the pieces back together. But I'm doing all this self-work and I'm doing all this healing. And it's incredibly isolating and it's lonely. And there's been so many times where I want to jump back into old behaviors and old patterns that just don't serve me anymore. Some more updates since the podcast. There have been more victims. Jess got a job at the same hospital as my cousin who was on the podcast. Her babies were staying at this hospital. They were in the NICU. She just had triplets. And so they were staying in the hospital. She gets a job there. And maybe 2 weeks before that, she was on my cousin's TikTok, but she was looking at her TikTok and you can see based on like her profile views that she was on there multiple times. And my cousin had posted about the hospital that the babies were staying at. So Jess saw that as an opportunity and took it. This is someone that I had a restraining order against. And she goes to my family and tries to be close to them. I feel like that's got to be breaking some sort of no contact. We didn't know what her intentions were for going there. Clearly, her intentions have never been good for any of us. So why start now? She would taunt us on TikTok. She would post all the time that she was in the area that I lived in or close by because she knew that people were watching. I was being sent this stuff. I was not looking at it myself. I didn't even have a TikTok account at the time. We met with the district attorney. I was able to share with him what has been going on. I do want to highlight something really great that has come from this. And it's been, once again, building these relationships with these women. Monica and Brie are both in very happy relationships, and Monica just got engaged, and that makes me so excited and so happy for her. Brie just hard launched her relationship, so that's awesome. I am so happy for both of them. I just want good things, and I cannot wait to see what life has in store for both of them. I wrote this in my journal. I was hurt beyond words, and I haven't been able to articulate it to anyone. I don't think I've sat down and actually thought about the pain that she's caused in my life. I think I have a hard time grasping that someone is capable of something like that. To the public, Jess has been acting like we're exaggerating or dramatizing it for the podcast. And then saying to Julie that she misses me the most, where she tells Danny and Brie that she hated me and that she talked so much shit about me and was not a friend to me. She's harassing random people who have shared the podcast online. She's calling them a cunt. She's being absolutely atrocious. She's saying the worst things imaginable about her so-called friends. She's telling the victims that they never mattered, but she's posting on TikTok that she's on her healing journey. And that, to be honest, just makes me sick to my stomach. Makes me fucking sick. I didn't think that I would find someone who understood what she did to me or how crazy she made me feel. I didn't think that that would happen. I didn't think that I would ever feel understood. I thought it was just going to be something that I had to go through alone. I'm not at all happy that the other women were involved, but it's a beautiful thing when we took something so horrible that happened to us and really came together to lift each other up. It makes me honestly emotional to think about it. And even Danny, especially for her to just willingly put herself in this, and Tiffany to willingly put themselves in our shoes and to experience every detail of what we went through for this podcast. I'm just incredibly grateful that I had this platform and I was able to share my unfiltered thoughts. And I had people every step of the way that were encouraging me to share and to be vulnerable and to give myself space when I needed to and set boundaries when I needed to. I felt so invalidated for so long and dismissed of every single one of my needs. Just having that bond with these women has really shaped my future and really opened my eyes to what the future holds for me. And I really want to take this horrible, tragic thing that's happened to me and other women, including women that haven't been on the podcast, and I want to make it something that they can use to heal from. I can share my journey to empower others and to empower myself through this, because I sure as hell don't know what I'm doing, but I'm trying to find the beauty in figuring it out. I think it's important to note that this abuse was very gradual. I read a book recently that compared this treatment to a frog in a frying pan. She increased the abuse so gradually that we weren't realizing that we were being psychologically burned alive. There are places and roads I still avoid because I don't have the emotional bandwidth to deal with the memories. I'm still retraining my brain that it's okay to have friends, to want to have my needs met, to go out on the weekends. She made me feel such shame for being alive, and that's not something that's easy to reverse. My identity, intuition, and sense of well-being were slowly stripped from me. The more isolated I became, the easier it was to maintain that control. The most important thing that I want to highlight is that I was a victim, but I don't have to stay a victim. I speak for all the girls and Tiffany that we won't stop fighting until justice is served. And I mean that. A special thank you to Tiffany for all your hard work. It has not gone unnoticed. We are so eternally grateful for all the work that you've put into this, all the hours you've spent speaking with district attorneys and detectives and the FBI, and the amount of evidence that you've compiled for us for future court proceedings and the criminal timeline that you've put together. You really have put your all into this, and we cannot thank you enough. I know I speak for everyone involved when we say that this couldn't have gone any better. And we would have been doing a disservice to ourselves and to our story by letting anyone else share it other than you. So thank you. I love you all. And this is not the last that you will hear from us. That's all I'll say. Just kidding, I lied. I do have one more thing that I want to say. Thank you to Becca and Lily and the rest of the Something Was Wrong team. You guys have been amazing and so supportive and so respectful. You also have put so much time and energy and emotion into this and really treated it as if it was your own. I feel like we are a family now, and I hope to meet you guys someday. And I just cannot thank you enough.
It is Tuesday, June 11th, 12:49 p.m. Pacific time. It feels so weird trying to wrap up this season, as Bree just put it in a group text. While they are definitely done with Brody, they are unfortunately not done yet with Jess and the fight for justice. And there's definitely more to come. As we wrap up here for now, I just want to say thank you so, so much to all of the survivors for their bravery and vulnerability and partnership throughout this process and season. I also want to thank all of their friends and family who took part in the supporting interviews, who also shared their evidence and support and insights with us this season. I also want to thank everyone who I spoke to off the podcast that still helps me with building our evidence, building the criminal timeline, and being willing to work in the criminal investigation side of things. I understand that there are plenty of reasons why certain people can't use their real name in these sorts of situations, given their profession or their personal life or their still current connections with Jessica's family. So I really appreciate it. Even if your voice wasn't heard on the podcast, please know that you were impactful in our mission. And we collectively continue to hold Jessica's son in our thoughts and prayers and wish the best for him. We will certainly have some updates in the future for y'all. We plan to do a free live Q&A stream for everybody in the coming month or so. We also are hoping to have some other future content related to the season, which that's all I can share right now. But the best way to stay up to date on the case and just updates in general about the podcast is by following the podcast on Instagram at Something Was Wrong Podcast on Instagram or Instagram.com/Something Was Wrong Podcast. You'll also find on our Instagram as well as our website, always like to highlight free and confidential resources for survivors and their loved ones. Our team works really hard to continually update these resources, safety tips, etc. on a weekly basis, and I'm really proud of the database that we continually build as a resource for our community. Lastly, we've created in partnership with the survivors a change.org petition to bring awareness to the crimes related to Jessica Pauley's actions discussed this season and the need for legislative change. You may naturally wonder if digital petitions have any real impact, but they do. There is power in numbers for sure, and I have seen personally and directly how petitions like these can help with convictions and sentencing. To add your name, please visit the change.org link in the episode notes. You can also find the link by visiting our Instagram bio. Petitions like these not only help support the victims, but it helps add to the public conversation regarding digital legislation for all victims. We are ramping up our educational data points episodes, and we have a ton of incredible experts coming to the feed to educate all of us on topics that we discuss within our stories. I want to thank all of our partners who are working with us to bring these bite-sized educational episodes to us to help us better understand the statistics and deeper information regarding these important topics. I also want to say shout out again to Palehound for doing the cover of You Think You, originally composed by Glad Rags this season. I have genuinely enjoyed listening to the cover every single time, and we got such great feedback from all the listeners, so I'm so glad to know y'all dug it. And it was really cool to partner with them. So thank you again to them. I also want to thank my team. Shout out to Becca, Lily, Amy, and our partners at Wondery, WME, and my behind the scenes team at Broken Cycle Media. Teamwork definitely makes the dream work. I'm so thankful to work alongside all of you and thankful for your contributions to this work. I want to thank y'all for listening. We could not do it without all your support. your shares, your reviews, some of you, the feedback that we've gotten this season, the support the survivors have had this season. It's just incredible. I can't believe 20 seasons. And in so many ways, y'all, we are just getting started. And there's just, y'all, there's so much work to be done. But thank you so, so much for being here. Thank you for supporting survivors, believing survivors. Thank you to those who are a part of the solution. Thank you to those who share the show and who send their love and well wishes to the survivors. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Season 21 is coming to your feed soon. Season 21 will be an episodic season covering a variety of important topics, from cults to military sexual assault to digital violence. We'll hear from a collection of inspiring and resilient survivors who have risen above all the odds stacked against them, overcome, and gone on to help others through their lived experiences.
My counselor again was like, Michelle, we don't believe her. We know that you've been telling the truth. We have plenty of proof. They have her pull right up to the window, and they have me climb out the window, get into my grandma's car, and leave.
When she asked me what the cult was that I was a part of, I told her Bethel, and her face fell. She was like, wait, I have friends at Bethel.
When this stuff was happening, I was in a halfway house, and my world just felt so small. There was no vision of having a normal life. I didn't really make goals for myself because I really felt like he was going to find me and kill me.
I understand that it is an entirely volunteer force and they need people to want to volunteer, but knowing what I know now, having been in the military and having been a 17 or 18 year old at one time, it's kind of predatory. It's like selling someone who doesn't know about money a car at 24% interest.
He's on no sex registry, yet he has this prevalent history of doing this over and over again. And he's out here still doing this to this day.
I want her to listen to it, and I want her to hear every single thing she did. Do you know what she used to always say to me? Whenever I was leaving the house, she would say, keep your mouth shut. What happens in this house stays in this house. Loose lips sink ships. So I'm going to write her a letter that says, loose lips sink ships. And that's it.
Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, stay safe, friends. Something Was Wrong is a Broken Cycle Media production created and hosted by me, Tiffany Reese. This season, our theme song, You Think You, by Glad Rags, is covered by Palehound. For music and tour dates, go to palehound.com. If you'd like to support the show further, you can share episodes with your loved ones, leave a positive review, or follow Something Was Wrong on Instagram at Something Was Wrong Podcast. As always, thank you so much for listening.